Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us over here today. For those of you who have not met, I'm Wamsi Mohan. I'm the IT hardware and technology supply chain analyst here at Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Welcome. It's my distinct privilege here to have IBM with me on stage. We have Robert LeBlanc, who is SVP of the cloud business. Robert's had a 30-plus year career at IBM in various roles, including heading up various parts of the software business and now in charge of the overall cloud business. So delighted to have you here, Robert.
Great to be with you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for taking the time. Cloud's obviously very, very topical. IBM's going through a big transformation, sort of pivoting from a hardware software services company more to a cognitive company with a cloud platform that people can build their enterprise applications on. So if you could maybe first talk about the cloud business in its larger context, that'd be great.
Well, if you look at what clients are trying to do and why the cloud is such an important part of it and what we see, you know, I talk to a lot of clients, and I think we're seeing a transition in the cloud. I think in the first phase of the cloud, it was always around, you know, the cost of compute, the cost of storage, and people were moving applications or building new applications on the cloud. I think we're going through the next phase of the cloud, and it's all about value. And the cloud is now becoming what I call a platform for innovation. And that's the way the more advanced clients are now starting to think about it. They don't look at the cloud as, okay, can I save money? They look at the cloud as, what can I do that I couldn't do before? Well, how do I change my business models? How do I change my business processes? How do I get access to data, industry data, public data, that I can now take and combine with the data I have in my own premise, and, you know, and get new insights? I can get new insights into clients, new insights into business models or business processes, and therefore then I can innovate. So we definitely see innovation now starting to come to the forefront. Because I always say that to clients, the cloud is not a destination. It's an enabler. And it's enabling you to get to new destinations that you wouldn't have otherwise thought. And that's all part of that disruptive nature of the cloud. And it's been disrupting every single industry. I don't see any industry today that's not being disrupted by the cloud in some way or the other. And I'm also seeing it around the world. It doesn't matter if you're here in the U.S. or in Europe or in Asia. It doesn't matter. You're kind of being affected, you know, by what's going on in the cloud. Clients also look at the cloud now as a way to get access to new technology and get to access to technology very quickly. So as an example, in our case, our Watson Cognitive. You know, we made a decision to take all of our cognitive technology and make it available on the cloud. So if you're a programmer, you have now access to all of our Watson technology without making huge investments. We've got over 29 services now on the cloud. In fact, about a one-third of the services that are being used are actually Watson cognitive services. So it's taking off. So when we built Watson, you know, to play Jeopardy, it was a fully integrated system. We've moved it out onto the cloud, and that's the way we're delivering. Now everyone has access to it. So that just opens up the opportunities and opens up innovation. And the third thing we're seeing is clients are now looking at the cloud, you know, as part of their strategy to build kind of a hybrid world. Everyone says, hey, I like this notion of the public cloud. But you know what, I've got data locality, data privacy, data security issues. Some of the data is going to stay. I've invested trillions of dollars in applications, transactional systems. I need the cloud to play with my current systems. And so a lot of clients, especially enterprise type clients, are building out these kind of hybrid. And that's what we've been really focused in on, because we see that as the fastest growing part of the cloud and a lot of innovation that we can bring to our enterprise.
Well, when you think about IBM, you guys reported about $10 billion in overall cloud revenue. Can you talk a little bit about what comprises, what makes up those $10 billion in cloud revenue?
Well, obviously, we've got probably the broadest portfolio of cloud capability. We've got about $5.4 billion of that $10 billion is as a service. You know, where people get access to the service. And it's everything from infrastructure as a service, which most people think about as the cloud. They think of the infrastructure. It's where, you know, a lot of the players are playing, like an Amazon plays in infrastructure. We play there as well. We had our SoftLayer acquisition, you know, years ago. We've continued to expand and invest in that capability to get scale. But we've also been moving up the value stack. We've put a lot in our Bluemix platform, our platform as a service. We've added Internet of Things capability. We have added blockchain, which is brand new technology. We were the first ones to put it up on the cloud. You've got our cognitive and our analytics services. So we see the value for clients really kind of moving up, where the infrastructure is enabling all of that. And I think sometimes people worry inordinately about the infrastructure and the size. And I was with a client yesterday, and I was with their IT leader and the business leader. And I turned to the business leader and I said, do you really care whether your cloud provider has 100,000 servers or 1 million servers? He goes, I don't know and I don't care. And that's you know, the right answer for him. So size is not everything, and we've gotten enamored with size. You need size to get to scale. And once you get to scale, whether you double the size really doesn't bring a lot of value to clients. So we're not as much focused about racing for size, because I get asked, will you ever be as big as Amazon? Well, that's not my goal. I'm not chasing size, I'm chasing value, because we want to bring the most value as quickly as we can to our clients. And that's where we see, you know, a lot of our client interactions, you know, is around bringing that value. So, you know, that's what we're focused on.
You know, we got a lot of questions around where are enterprises in their transition to the cloud? You know, what are CIOs telling you about where we are in that transition? How much of their workloads have moved to the cloud? Where are we in this journey of migration to the cloud?
Well, the interesting thing is when you talk to the CIOs, they all believe they're behind, which is really interesting, because as we've gone through all of these various transitions in technology over the years, there's always a few that say they're in the lead, they're the leaders, and they're there. In fact, I always ask the CIOs as I meet them, where are you in your journey from a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being I'm there? And I don't hear anybody say they're above a 5. In fact, they all think they're behind, which is really interesting. Even some of our largest clients all think they're behind. And what that tells me is we're still very, very early in the transition, and very early in that movement. We talk a lot about it, but the actual movement is still in the early stages. We're in the beginning of the game here. And what clients, what I hear from CIOs and even senior business leaders is they look at the cloud to be able to extend what they do. Okay, they've got supply chains, they've got business models, they've got business processes, and they want to take that and extend it to the cloud. And so it's not so much moving to the cloud. In fact, most of what we see in the cloud today is new, not moving of workload. And most business leaders don't care if you take a workload that's running on-prem and you move it to the cloud. They look at it and go, well, where's the business value? Did you do something different when you moved it? So just moving for the sake of moving is not where people are focused anymore. They were several years ago when the cloud first started to be talked about, but now they're looking at what can I change in the business model, new business models, new business processes, new access to data. So we're definitely seeing that shift. So a lot of CIOs want to extend their systems. A lot of them want access to new technology very quickly. And a lot of them are very focused here on speed and agility, because they know they're not moving at the speed that the business requires. And most business leaders, if they pick up, you know, any kind of press, they'll say, wow, everyone's doing it, I've got to move faster, and they're putting pressure on the CIO to move faster. So speed and agility, and that's why things like DevOps and capabilities like that are so important for our clients. But most CIOs I talk to, they'll tell me they're less than 5. And that tells me there's still a lot of opportunity out there.
And so if you think about some of the reasons why they're saying that they're less than 5, is it that they're so entrenched in their legacy infrastructure that they're still trying to figure out what their strategy is? Or is it a question of sort of, you know, being unsure about ultimately what their longer-term data strategy might be? Like, what are the main limitations that are causing them to think that they are so far behind?
I think the dialogue I'm having this year versus last year with the CIOs is very different, and even with some of our clients. It used to be they were talking about the cloud as if, well, if I get to the cloud. Now no one says if. Everyone says they're going. Now it's a rate and pace. And then they start to understand that they have to decide what workloads are they going to move to the cloud. Because the cloud is not one thing. It can be multiple things, and there's different kinds of workloads that can be optimized to different kinds of patterns that you see out there. So they're all trying to decide what workloads make sense to move to the cloud. And they're all worried about less about security than before, because they know, you know, the cloud is getting is a secure platform. They're worried about data, data locality, data sovereignty, especially outside the US. Mm. We see less of it in the US because there's large data centers in the US can support most enterprises that work in the US. But when you go outside into Europe, every country has different laws. They have different requirements. The data must stay in the country, and you know that's why our strategy was to put, you know, our pods, our data centers, in all of the major countries around the world, and we're now up to 46 cloud data centers around the world. So I can support the client's need to keep the data in country or in region, as an example. So what I'm hearing is they're all going. They're just at different parts of the journey. And some of them need help, and some of them ask us to come in and consult with them and help them build a strategy. Some of them need to understand the technology, because you know, when you move to the cloud, some of the skills you need are different than the skills that were built up, you know, over a period of time. Even in my own development shop, as I build out capability, you know, 1/3 of my team is new in the last 18 months. So there is a skill shift that goes along with it. But you know what I'm seeing is they're all committed. They understand the value, and they are going to get there. It's a question of how and how quickly.
Well, when you think about the cloud business from the perspective of the incremental revenue and profitability, clearly, you know, there's $10 billion of revenue that's coming from cloud. When you think about the profitability, given that you know, you're still early days, you're still investing in the business, how do you think of how that profitability plays out over time?
Well, you know, as soon as you get to scale, you know, your margins, you know, definitely improve. So you build out in the early days, you build up scale. Then as you build up, you do two things. You get to scale, your margins will increase as you get to scale. So there's a margin improvement there. And also as you move up the value chain, right? The more value you provide to clients, you know, the more they're willing to, you know, to pay for that value, and the better the margins and the profitability, you know, of a business is. So, you know, the infrastructure is very much required to get there, and it's the value and the set of services you can build on top, like cognitive and IoT and blockchain and others, that really start to bring the value to the client. And that's where, you know, a lot of clients are willing to invest, because they know that that's where ultimately they need to get to. And again, for them, the cloud is now a platform. It's the innovation around the business that they're really focused in on.
What would you say is the primary differentiation that IBM Cloud brings to the table for customers?
Well, there's a couple of things that we're very much focused in on as we listen to clients. One is what we call choice with consistency, and that's allowing clients to deploy their cloud applications locally, in a dedicated instance, or in a public instance. And giving the client that flexibility, they can move the workload, they can move the data where it makes sense for their business. They're not predisposed to, oh, if I want to go to the public, I have to move everything. Mm. And for some of them, you know, because they're worried about locality, or they're even regulated industries, they can't do that. So what we want to do is we want to give them that flexibility. That's number one. Number two is we want to give them the ability to utilize all of the investments they've made in IT. It's what we call hybrid. So I've got all of these transactional systems. I've got all of this data that sits on-prem. Some of it will move to the cloud, but I'd like to mix the cloud and my current in a hybrid notion to really optimize. So I'm not going to replace trillions of dollars of investment overnight. I may over time, but I want to get down that journey. And it's not, well, one day I'm on-prem, the next day I'm in the public cloud. There is a journey that you go on. And some people say they'll get there eventually. Some people say, no, they'll stop, you know, halfway there, and that's where they'll get to. So that hybrid connectivity is important. And that's why, you know, we've taken all of our middleware portfolio and we've put it on the cloud. Mm. Okay, so you can get access from the cloud, but you can access back now into the traditional, you know, back-end on-prem systems that we built for data and transaction, things like WebSphere and our data products as well. And then there's DevOps, and I think DevOps is where a lot of value is being provided now, and that's for the developer. And that really speeds up, because in the old days, you know, we would take 12 to 18 months for a client to build a new application. They've got to be thinking now, you know, 5 to 6 weeks. In fact, we worked with one client, major bank, and they were building a mobile application. And I was talking to the CIO, and he said, well, you know, it's going to take us 9 months, and I think it was 100 people to build this application. I said, I'll tell you what, give me 5 of your really good guys. I'll take 5 of my guys. We're going to build it out in the cloud with our new DevOps and our Bluemix platform. We'll see how we do. 5 weeks later, the application was built. He showed it to the board, and they were in production. That's the speed of the cloud. And that's the speed of the technology in the cloud. So I think DevOps is really important. And we differentiate ourselves because we allow people to choose the tools. So developers can use all of the open tools like GitHub and Puppet and all the technologies they're used to. And I think that is a differentiation. And obviously, we're focused on data. So our advanced analytics, our cognitive services are really kind of unique. And that allows people to build systems, you know, that provide, you know, better insight and better learning, because at the end of the day, you want to improve the business, and it's about the business models and the business processes that really bring the value. And if we can enable that through the cloud, and that's a differentiation point for our cloud as well.
Robert, you mentioned hybrid cloud earlier as the right sort of ultimate state, maybe. When you think about that, why is that the case? Is it because of the investments that are already existing at most enterprises, and that you just need a mix of where people potentially start off bursting incremental workloads to the cloud just to adjust for seasonality or peak demand? And is that sort of the first step that people are taking in the move to the cloud? And then the second aspect could be that if they find the incremental value associated with the solutions, then that sort of enables them to move more. Like, how do you think about the hybrid cloud evolution?
Well, you know, I think there's no one model. I think it's going to be a combination. Some things are going to go to the public cloud and make sense. A lot of what we see today in mobile or in the public cloud. Hybrid is really an ability to combine the value of open cloud and the capability that are out there, you know, in terms of data, with what I have on-prem. And if I take a transactional system that I've spent years, for me to rebuild that transactional system into the cloud, it's probably going to take me a lot of time, a lot of energy, my best people, and really provide no value to the business. The line of business is not going to say, hey, go spend $10 million on moving an application and, you know, come back in 9 months and tell me how you did. Business is not going to invest in that kind of, it's got to have a return on the investment. So I think it depends on the workload. I think some workloads are very good for the public cloud. Some workloads will be great for a hybrid cloud model. I think it will be dependent on the workload. So it's not that it's that's the final destination. It depends on the workload. It's another model. Because I think it's going to be multiple models depending on what the client is trying to do and depending on things like I talked about, like data locality and sovereignty and other things. Because I think different workloads, you know, will work better in different spaces.
For your largest enterprise customers, what sort of workloads are they contemplating or moving into public cloud?
Well, certainly you see a lot of the new applications. So, you know, mobile would be a good example of that. Some clients are extending their current applications. So if I've got an application that runs on-prem and I'm going to build a new function for that application, I may build that new function into the cloud. So now I've got a hybrid application. Part of the application runs on-prem, part of it runs out in the cloud, and they're connecting together. We're seeing a lot of clients actually do that. And sometimes it's they just want to extend their application. Sometimes they just want to take their application and run it on the cloud. And sometimes they want to take a new application they built, and they just want to access the data or access the back-end system like a transactional system rather than having to rebuild all that capability they already had. So, you know, we're seeing clients do different things, but they're thinking a lot about workload. Some of them think about bursting, you know, if they got an application that, boy, I just need compute and storage, you know. But the challenge you have with that is then I have to replicate what I have in-house in the cloud. So you want to re-architect as you go along, and that provides more value. Some people look at it good for disaster recovery and backup and things of that nature. And again, it really is multiple different kinds of workloads, and you have to look at the workload. And I'm seeing more of our advanced clients really do a workload analysis and decide which workloads belong best on the cloud and which ones are best for public or hybrid.
Your SoftLayer acquisition a few years ago, you know, since the time of that, you obviously invested, as you said, building up these pods in various countries. Where would you say the utilization rates of these data centers are today? What is the thing that gets them a lot higher from here on?
Well, if you look at it, we added 8 new data centers in 2015 into our cadre. We're now up to 47 data centers around the world. Obviously, they're all at various levels of utilization. You know, when you throw up a pod, a public cloud, you know, it takes time to kind of fill it and everything else. I worry about the kinds of workloads that clients can do. So as an example, we opened up our first public cloud in India. Public clouds were accessible in India, but we actually have now a data center in India so that the data can stay in country. And when you provide that kind of value, then you get some unique workloads that a client before couldn't put on the cloud, they now can put on the cloud. And so we're seeing that, you know, expand here very, very quickly. So we're pretty happy with the expansion that we see. But again, it's about providing the value add on top, and it's a new set of services that are starting to drive a lot of that utilization of our pods. So things like, obviously, our Watson cognitive services and IoT and blockchain, because they're the workloads that run in the cloud, and that's what's going to drive utilization, you know, of the cloud. And that's kind of universal. We see that around the world.
When you look at your software portfolio, you're offering more and more of that on as a service model. How has that changed, reception at customers? What are you seeing in terms of migration from on-prem because of this particular change of the ability to offer a lot of this portfolio now as a service?
Well, it gives the clients choice. And if they're building an application, they're building, say, a WebSphere application, they can use the skills, the technology that they have to build the application, and whether it runs on-prem or in the cloud, then it becomes the client's choice. Not a choice of where is the technology, but where does it best fit the business model that I'm trying to execute on. And so some clients are building new applications, you know, in the cloud. Some of them are extending their applications, what I call the extension. Some of them are building new applications to come back. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make it easy for them to build these applications and take advantage of the cloud and the elasticity and everything else without the programmer having to deal with all of that level of complexity. Because, you know, the cloud, you know, public cloud brings a lot of new capability, but with it brings a level of complexity. And we can actually mask that and put that in, quote unquote, in the cloud and just make it easy for people to build new applications that instantiate new business models and processes.
Well, when you mentioned a few times cognitive, IoT, can you maybe give a few examples of how some of these have really helped you win certain deals, whether it be cognitive or whether it's IoT capability, where you have the differentiation?
Well, if you've seen what we've done in Watson, you know, obviously the first area we focused in was in healthcare, and we've built quite a large Watson healthcare business, and that was both organic and through acquisition. We made several large acquisitions. We work with a lot of large institutions, hospitals. Minpal in India is an example, 16 hospitals for some of their oncology advisor capability that we have that help doctors, you know, care for individuals and make diagnosis and help them, you know, decide what the care should be. We're starting to see it in other. We've got a startup, Evolve 24, where they're using some of our cognitive capabilities to get new insights into their clients, and they'd use that for marketing and automation and things of that nature. So we're seeing that used. We're seeing some very unique ones. We saw an entrepreneur use Watson to, keep track of when you're in a call. You ever been on a conference call and you're there and you're doing something else and you wait to hear your name and they mention your name and you go, okay, why'd they mention your name? He actually built it where Watson goes back, looks at the last 30 seconds and tells you in context exactly what the context was of the question that they ask you, and then Watson can even tell you, oh, sorry, I was on mute, and allow you to answer the question. So we're seeing a lot of creativity. But no, seriously, we're seeing cognitive in just about every industry, because at the end of the day, no matter what industry you're in, whatever part of the world you're in, improvement in business insight and business intelligence is something that all industries require. And that really helps businesses, you know, provide new levels of service, new insight, new clients, you know, that thing is what's really important. And that's driving an awful lot of that.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. I mean, at Bank of America, we've actually seen certain startups now leverage Watson technology and approach the bank to see how they can provide certain analytical solutions and analytical insights that probably people would have had to write custom codes and lines of code to do that, but now they're able to leverage Watson and come to market fairly quickly using a platform like that, especially at your New York Watson Conference, Developers Conference. A lot of people, entrepreneurs, using Watson, similar to how the App Store, Apple App Store, sort of opened its API in a very similar fashion, sort of leveraging the Watson, underlying Watson technology. So that was really interesting. You know, we hear this theme from clients that IBM's global services is always involved when there is IBM Cloud involved. And could you comment if A, that perception's correct, and is it, you know, something that you find the engagement of services level to be, global services to be high or higher relative to other cloud models? And if yes, why? And if not, then maybe it's just a misperception.
Well, I think it's a misperception that all of the IBM Cloud requires services. You know, you can do anything self-service, so all of our capabilities available self-service. You look at it from the infrastructure and what we provide, both bare metal and virtualized environments, all self-service. Client can provision themselves. No need for an IBMer to be involved in all of that, all the way up through our Bluemix as a service. Easy to get services, easy to get the Watson services. I don't have to help the startups. The APIs are out there, services are out there. They use them every day. There are certain clients that want help, and you know, typical help one, they may want some consulting help. They're building a cloud strategy. They want to understand how they approach the cloud, what are the priorities, what things they got to look for. You know, they want to learn from that. Some clients want us to build the cloud for them. So they say, you know what, IBM, come in and help me build the cloud, whether it's, you know, an instantiation that sits on a public cloud or an instantiation that's in the private cloud. They need help building out the cloud, and they want our expertise in building that because, you know, they've never done it before, and, you know, they realize they need help. There's some clients that want us to provide a managed service. So as an example, if I have an SAP instance, sure, I can put it out in the public cloud, but then I'm having to manage it. And the client saying, no, I want you to put it out in the cloud, but I also want you to manage that for me. So you're managing, you know, that instance. So, you know, there's different kinds of services that are out there. We've got a breadth of services. So are there a lot of our cloud engagements that have our services teams involved? And the answer is yes, especially as you move things like hybrid and everything. But if I want to go into, you know, the public cloud and self-service, all of our capabilities is available there, including, you know, our middleware portfolio.
Given the fact that, you know, cloud is taking on so much more of an important role, have you had to change your go-to-market strategy at all with respect to the cloud?
I don't know if it's so much changed the go-to-market strategy. It's certainly how you get the clients is really got to be multimodal. So where we were predominantly face-to-face, and we still have face-to-face engagements, we've got a pretty substantial inside sales team now that's involved. We've been expanding our digital footprint, and going digital, self-service is very, very important. And we also engage our expansive partner programs that are out there. So I would say we just continue to expand, but you've got to be able to get to the client where and when the client is. And that's important for engaging into new markets, getting new clients, because that's the way they're going to maybe engage with you for the first time is digitally. So one of our big focuses is expanding, you know, our digital practice for all of our capability.
One of the things that Ginny shared at Investor Day was that you had gross margins and strategic imperatives already ahead of sort of corporate gross margins. So is cloud already there from a profitability standpoint, from a gross margin standpoint, especially given some of the solutions that are differentiated?
Well, if you look at our strategic imperatives and you just look at the quarter we had, you know, over 30% of our revenue is coming from our strategic imperatives. And, you know, as you bring more value, you do get more margins. But as you scale, you also improve the margin. So from a cloud perspective, we're still in investment mode, heavy investment mode, and we continue to expand not only our footprint from an infrastructure perspective, but also invest heavily into all of the sets of services that sit on top of the cloud, you know, the ones that I mentioned. So we'll continue to improve the margins as we scale the business. Okay, are we at a scale where I can compete at a price for compute and a price for storage? Yeah, we're at that scale. So we're at what I would consider to be a global cloud, you know, public cloud scale. I've got that scale. Now we'll continue to expand that, but also worry and provide more, you know, value up the stack. Because the different clients don't look at infrastructure and platform and as a software as a service as much as I think we do in the industry. Mm-hmm. They're on now looking at it and saying, what's the capability? And they worry less about all the minutiae and where it runs and how it runs. Because a client doesn't care if I've got 100,000 servers in a data center or a million servers in a data center. What they care about is, what is the service? What's the value? Do I have the service levels? Is it going to be up and running when I need it? You know, how do I get the data? How do I protect the data? Those are things that clients worry about. They don't worry so much about size.
Yeah, and though clients don't worry necessarily about what the underlying implementation is, as a company, you have the expertise sort of all the way down from silicon to software as a service. So when you think about the power portfolio, which is the basis of building out the soft layer data centers, you know, how do you see that? Do you expect that will be the foundation on a go-forward basis also? Because that allows you to capture sort of the value all the way down from the processor level on.
Well, it's not so much providing the value from the processor and down. It's what can you do that's new and unique that you can architect and tune for the particular workload. As an example, if you're doing an analytic workload, which is, you know, obviously one of our really important workloads, the way you architect systems are a little different than if you're building a mobile application, as an example. So having an understanding all the way down to the silicon enables us to build a fully integrated stack. And that integrated stack then can have the right level of optimization and performance to really meet the needs of, you know, some of these large workloads that clients more and more are going to have, you know, running on the cloud. So, you know, when you have that level of knowledge and you can go all the way down to the lowest element, that gives you the capability to innovate. And that innovation will be what brings unique value and what will differentiate, you know, the IBM cloud from some of the other, you know, clouds out there.
When you think about the investments that you have made recently, how should we think about sort of M&A on a go-forward basis, particularly in your business, and sort of what do you see as the primary gaps, perhaps, that you need to fill in the portfolio?
Well, if you look at the strategy that we've been on for the cloud here, obviously there's an organic investment, and we have shifted billions of dollars of IBM investment over to the cloud or enabling, you know, capability in the cloud. And you look at our investments in Internet of Things and into Watson and Cognitive, into blockchain, the investment into Bluemix, which has now over a million users. And, you know, so we're investing organically, and we've shifted a lot of our investment. We're also going in acquisition. So in the cloud, excluding Watson, which we had four large acquisitions, we made eight acquisitions in the cloud space in the last year. Everything from Blue Box to help us with OpenStack implementations, because we're very big on open technologies, whether it's Cloud Foundry, OpenStack, Docker. We support open technology. We believe the cloud has got to stay open. That's where you get the most, you know, consistency and ability for clients to make choice. You got to give the client the choice. Mm-hmm. You can't force them into something. So we're investing there. We bought a company called Compose.io to help us in the data space, Strong Loop to help with programming and Node.js, which is becoming a popular language in the cloud world. We acquired a company, CleverSafe, for object storage. You know, we knew we had to kind of bring our game up in object storage, and So we acquired a company there that's going to be a really good one for us. We acquired a company, Graviton, to help with brokerage services because, you know, most clients that we talk to, enterprise clients, they're going to have multiple clouds. They're not going to say, I'm going with cloud A or cloud B. Most of them are going to have multiple clouds. And, you know, they want help in managing, you know, the cloud as if it's one. So we bought a company to help us do that. And then you got the video services. We see video is just going to explode here, I believe, on the cloud. Everything is now video. It's not just media and entertainment and Netflix and mm-hmm. everything else, but you think about the way people train, the way people instructional videos. Everything is going to the cloud. In fact, we've seen data that says upwards of 80% of the traffic will actually be video traffic, you know, here in the future on the cloud. So we invested in a company ClearLeap and a company Ustream. So both live streaming and on-demand capability and building a true video platform running on our cloud. We think that's pretty exciting. And we've closed a couple of, you know, very large clients, HBO in Europe. Most of the HBO platform is now running on that structure. So we invested in there. And then we invested in the weather company. And that would surprise mm-hmm. a little people because everybody thought we were after the data. And in fact, the data is important because, you know, the more data you have, the better your insights. Sure. But what we got is a world-class infrastructure with a set of services that's used to dealing in the billions and billions of individual transactions and data points every single day. So we bought a platform with a set of services that we're going to scale for not only weather, but for anything that's IoT. So that's providing us much more of the services that we need for the Internet of Things. So that was another acquisition. So you see everything from a small kind of structure all the way up to, you know, a platform service. And then obviously the investments we make in some of our healthcare units and wants and everything that are all, you know, cloud-based as well. So we always look for value, but we look for areas where we can extend out the capabilities that we've got in our cloud. And then the last part of it is partnerships. And you've seen a lot of partnerships from IBM, everything from Apple, the original partnership, which is going very well. We announced in February a partnership on Swift, mm-hmm. which is the programming language that most people use to build the mobile side of the application. Well, we've taken Swift down to the server side, so now I can build true enterprise-class mobile applications. And again, the 11 million or so programmers out there can now program on the server side as well as the mobile side. Partnership with VMware. That enables clients who are running a virtual machine on-prem to provision and run the same virtual machine out in the cloud with the same tools, the same skills that they had before. That's great if they're moving workloads, bursting workloads. Just, again, try to make it easier for the client to utilize, you know, the cloud in this hybrid fashion. And then there's partnerships like what we did with GitHub, which is one of the leading platforms for developers. In the open world, and we brought that now to the enterprise and support GitHub inside the enterprise. So you see a bunch of partnerships that will also augment because we do believe that the ecosystem is going to be very important.
I think this is probably just time for one last question here. Do you think that we're going to be seeing, because the portfolio is moving to as a service, and there's a, you know, more and more revenue that potentially is not being captured sort of in the old way where you would sell license and get that revenue immediately, rather it's more ratable that takes time. Do you think that over the next 3 to 5 years there's an inflection point where we should see a big pickup in sort of eventually how this revenue starts to expand and where are we like in that process?
Well, you know, obviously we're in that transition phase from an IBM perspective, and the market's in a transition phase, and it's not just unique to IBM. People are going to pay for what they use, and as the usage starts to increase, then you know what, the revenue and the signings and everything else that goes along with it will pick up. And if you believe what I hear from CIOs that tell me they're, you know, still in the very early stages of their journey, as they advance in their journey, you know, they'll pick up, their workloads will pick up, and, you know, obviously the revenue will go as well, which I, you know, you can argue gives you opportunity for better margins and more predictability in the business versus a lumpy kind of transactional business. But the market's making that transition and clients are making that transition, and we're going to go where the clients are and where the clients want the value, because at the end of the day, You know, they're the ones that make the decisions every day. So, you know, I spend an awful lot of my personal time with clients and trying to understand what are the impediments, like you said, and what are the challenges they have. Because there's some things we can help them with immediately, and there's some things that will just take time, you know, as the capability keeps evolving. All I know is we're still in the early innings, and the technology, the business models, the processes will continue to evolve, and we'll evolve with them.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I think we're just about out of time, so
okay,
appreciate
you
taking the time. Thanks a lot, Robert.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.